Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your day. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Let's go ahead and join our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How you doing over there?
Pretty good. How are yourself there?
We're doing pretty good here. Looking at a little bit of flurries today. Is that what we're seeing, Paul?
Yeah, a slight chance of seeing a little bit of that here and there, but overall it looks like more cloud cover in the area today, and temperatures to top off at about 39. That does look like better chances for precip tonight. Maybe a few rain showers mixed with snow spots, lows at 33, and then still could see a rain shower into Wednesday. Cloudy and 48 tomorrow, 30 on Wednesday night. Still a rain shower chance, maybe turn into a few snow showers Wednesday night late. And then on Thursday, 41 for the high. Rain or snow showers, still looking at breaks of sun by Friday and Saturday. And quieter weather, 43 Friday, upper 40s coming up Saturday. So things do improve again by the start of the weekend. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
We appreciate the updates, Paul, and really appreciate you, your dog chiming in as well. We wanted that. We need that. We love dogs
That's
around
right.
here.
Yeah, he had to add a little his two cents into things. So, yeah.
Oh, every dog.
He's just excited about those warmer temps.
Yeah, yeah. Don't blame him. It's a good dog. A good dog
yeah,
right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Paul. We appreciate you. Have a good day.
You bet. You guys do.
Best in the business and the best dog in the business, right? Best weather dog in the business right there, Pell's dog. Appreciate our friends there. Looking like a nice weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Looking
Not
like
bad.
A should be
it'll
nice.
It'll be a good maple syrup weekend.
Ooh.
I think we're planning to go to the Sugar Shack and help make some maple syrup this weekend.
Maple syrup.
I know I had you at that.
I'm back.
Can you bring your
sorry.
Focus back?
Sorry.
We need you here.
We are going to talk a little food now.
oh, good.
When it comes to leftovers, some people are fine with eating things straight out of the fridge, while others need to reheat anything that they originally was served hot. The classic example, of course, is pizza.
Pizza.
But not every food is popular cold. So a new poll asked people which leftovers they'd eat straight out of the fridge, or in other words, you know, cold. That's kind of an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Now, maple syrup is fine, hot or cold.
Yes, indeed.
I do like it hot, though. Warming it up in the microwave is really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and putting it hot over your pancakes or your French toast. But, you know, if you if you add it into your coffee, like I did this morning with coffee and milk, and make a nice little maple syrup latte, it's very good that way as well.
It's something. Maple syrup is so giving. It does so much for us. Thank you, maple syrup.
Yes.
Pizza, number one on the list. 83% of people, of course, would eat it cold. Only 83% is actually kind of surprising to me.
Yeah.
I'd expect at least 90-some percent.
Yeah. That is kind of surprising. But it is a lot of people.
I will admit, everything else on this list is a little different to me, a little weird.
Okay.
I'm not good at eating things that were warm cold. Except pizza. Yes, pizza, no problem whatsoever. Just give it to me, I'll eat it.
Okay.
But like number two on the list, fried chicken. 60% of people would eat that cold. I have done that before, but I didn't like it. It wasn't very good. I didn't think it was.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how. Like sometimes I'll take fried chicken and cut it up in a salad.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Then it's cold, but it's not like you're just gnawing it off the bone out of the fridge.
Good point. Quesadillas came in at 58%. 58% of people would eat them cold.
I see, and that seems similar to me to pizza. It's kind of the same ingredients minus the sauce.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Number four, bacon. 55% of people would eat it cold. What is wrong with you people? What happened to you?
Again, I'm going to say salad, James.
Yeah.
You get cut up, you know, cold bacon and put it on top of a salad. You don't want it warm on your lettuce.
This is that I want to make this very clear. This is coming from a Jew. Let's honor our friend the pig. They sacrificed. They gave up for us. Mm. At least eat it warm. At least eat it the way it was properly meant to be. I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
Okay,
eat it the way any
get
way
off
you
your soapbox.
Eat it any way you want. I don't care. It's bacon. It's amazing. Bacon's
awesome.
But
if you're going to eat it, you know, like just a strip of bacon, I agree. I would prefer it to be warm.
Yeah, I have eaten plenty of bacon cold in my life. I just prefer it warm. That's all.
Yeah. Because it gets, you know, if it sits on your plate during breakfast, it gets cold pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not going to waste that bacon. Again, the pig sacrificed so much for us.
Number five, pancakes. 51% of people would eat them cold. Yeah, yeah. I have.
Maybe if you make like a sandwich out of it, you slather some peanut butter on it, stick a banana or some jelly in there, and have a pancake sandwich. Sure, I'll eat it cold that way.
Pancakes and waffles are great for this. They're really good for those.
Oh, yeah.
Burritos come in next. 48% of people would eat those cold. Nope.
I guess it's technically then just a wrap. But
yeah, yeah.
I would have to reheat it.
I'm not good with any kind of hamburger meat or beef cold. I'm noticing that in this article. Buffalo wings come in next at 42%. Yeah,
that could be cold. You can eat that cold.
Not a big deal. Fried rice, 40% will eat that cold. I've only really eaten rice warmed up a handful of times, I think. At least not that many. I probably have eaten it cold more than not.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I generally don't. I'm just being honest. I've never really made rice for myself. It's always been my nana, my mom, my grandmother that ate it. We don't traditionally eat a lot of rice in any version of those. Like all three of those cooks didn't make a whole lot of rice. Okay. So maybe that just when we did eat it, it just, you know, that's all they knew how to prepare it as. I don't want to make, they're all three of those women are the greatest cooks I've ever known. So I don't want to make like they didn't know what they were doing. We didn't make a lot of rice.
Right, if it's not something you make a lot. I think that cold leftover rice should just be made into fried rice, and then it's warm, and then you eat it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only acceptable way to eat it cold is if it's the middle of the night, you have leftover Chinese, and you're starving.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a good, that actually sounds like something I have done, yes.
Yes.
Orange chicken comes in next, 40% would eat that cold.
Reference last statement.
Yes. That worked out perfectly. Number 10, French fries. 36% would eat them cold.
No.
With some takeout, you don't even get an option. They're cold by the time you get them. That's the only time I will eat them cold. Otherwise, no.
Yeah.
No.
No.
I am. It's tough for me to eat potatoes anyway, let alone when they're cold.
Cold fries. No, there's nothing worse than cold fries. And if I have takeout and the fries are cold, there are times where I'll throw them in the oven quick or, you know, the air fryer. Now that I have that, I would totally do that because it doesn't take long and I don't like cold fries.
I'm with you on that. The next two are actually That Ain't Right stories. They should never be eaten cold as far as I'm concerned.
Are these Italian dishes?
Well, one of them, lasagna. 35% would not eat that cold. Lasagna might be one of those ones that actually would work out cold with all the cheeses in there and such. I don't know. But I've never eaten it cold, and I can't imagine, like, just thinking of it, I wouldn't say repulses me, but it gets awfully close.
Well, this was one of my favorite childhood memories, actually. There was a period of time where I had a friend that stayed with us for, I don't remember why. It was like a couple weeks or something that she stayed with us, and my mom made lasagna several times while she was there, and we would go late at night and steal cold lasagna out of the fridge and eat it in my bedroom while playing Clue. And it was the best thing ever.
That's awesome.
But my mom made lasagna different than most people. It was basically just sauce, cheese, noodles, and cottage cheese. She didn't put any meat in it. So there wasn't the hamburger problem for you.
My nana made that sometimes too, like that. I think that was pretty much how she ended up making it towards the end. There was always that way.
Yeah, someday when I want, you know, to really put myself in pain, I will make that nostalgic dish for myself and enjoy it, and then hate life afterwards.
Yeah, I was gonna say
I will enjoy it
while you're chewing. Yes, you'll enjoy it
for the moment.
Next, barbecue ribs. 35% would eat those cold. Who wronged you? Who hurt you? Do you need a hug? Nothing barbecue should ever be cold.
Is this a bad time to tell you I have some in my fridge and I was planning to eat them cold for lunch today?
Oh, more power to you. Barbecue's great.
I might throw them in the air fryer. It's easy.
I don't think I've ever eaten barbecue cold, and just the thought of it seems weird to me, but I imagine.
It'd be tougher. I think it would be tougher cold. If you heated it up, it'd be a little more tender like it was the first time you ate it, but probably not as good. It's just the nature of ribs.
Yeah. Hot dogs come in next. 33% would eat those cold.
Yeah. How many of us had those?
Yeah.
You know, you get, here you go, have a hot dog.
It's
as
like
a kid.
The other thing was, here's a hot dog, have it after your dad cooked it like for 5 seconds.
Oh.
That's what he did. He'd throw it in there. Like, cause
got the grill flavor.
Yeah, yeah, like something like that or whatever. Cheeseburgers at 33%. Mm-mm. Nope.
No, thanks.
No. Mac and cheese. I don't. No. I love mac and cheese. I will say I love it, but I don't think I would like it cold.
I like macaroni salad cold, you know, like with macaroni and tuna or something like that with some veggies in there and mayonnaise, but not with, I don't know. I don't think I'd like mac and cheese cold.
I excuse myself from the next two, Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes. We don't get along, Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes and I, so I excuse myself from the conversation. I
would prefer to eat those warm, both of those.
Yeah, yeah.
I like both of those.
Good on you, and they're good for you. And mashed potatoes, I'm trying to get better about eating and everything, but the way to get me to eat mashed potatoes is not serving them cold. That is definitely not it. I have had cold mashed potatoes, and people are lucky I still eat them. That was wrong. That was all kinds of wrong.
Poor James.
Chili comes in at number 18.
Oh, no thanks.
In chili's defense, it is got a chill in it. I mean, it does. Did we name chili right? Did we name it right?
You eat it when it's chili.
Yeah, good point, good point. And finally on the list, biscuits and gravy. 8% would eat that cold.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No,
nah.
Thank you.
No, no. I mean, maybe if it is the 1800s and I'm on the trail, you know, that's all I got. Yeah, that'll definitely.
Yeah.
But
no, thank you.
I don't think outside of that I'm eating it cold. No.
Now, if we're talking about, like, we're starving, anything is good cold. I mean, boot leather is good cold. Mm-hmm. But if you have a choice, no, biscuits and gravy should be warm.
Couldn't agree with you more. We are going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. But our great friends over at the Arts Council, Sally Kistner, and of course our good friend Eric Bertnacher at the Performing Arts Center, they were in the other day to highlight and talk about the great season that they have had in this amazing concert coming up on March 24th, Mr. Chris Cruzy.
Great.
We got to hang out with Chris, talk to Chris for a little while. It was a great conversation. Chris has joined us a couple of times on the air here. This performance is going to be wrapping up the main stage season for the Arts Council. Great season by them. Tickets are just $35, $10 for students. You can get tickets at savorthearts.com. That's savorthearts.com. Go ahead and get those tickets or be caller number one right now because we got a pair to give away.
Hey, awesome.
Again, thank you to Sally Kistner for these. I got two tickets right here to give away to see Mr. Chris Cruzy March 24th at 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center. You want these tickets, all you got to do is call up 424-2600 and tell me a song you've heard of Chris do that you like, or tell me something about Chris that you like. That's all you got to do. Just give it to us.
It's Friday.
It's this awesome. Friday. You want to go to this concert for free? You can do it right now by calling up 424-2600. Tell them Melissa and I something about Chris you like or one of Chris's favorite songs. These tickets will be yours. And of course, again, get your tickets for this at savorthearts.com. That's savorthearts.com. Let's give Chris a great crowd and a great audience and keep him coming back here like he has been. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and have some more fun with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What Melissa and I are about to do is do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu who are back to their regular scheduled hours.
Yeah, welcome back.
Open 7 days a week, 6 to 2. Our good friends over at Misty's Menu at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. If you're hungry, if you want to treat yourself, get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Go ahead and wish them a great day from all of us. We have only one possible qualifier today, so we're going to go ahead and mark them down. But we do have two people to highlight. First up, former employee Chris Woolridge.
Oh, Oh, happy birthday, Chris.
Chris worked here at WFHR for a long time, got built up a great standing within the community and many people out there. Wishing Chris a great, big happy birthday. Chris still in radio, just in another state, but wishing him a very happy birthday.
Nice.
And I want to wish a very happy birthday to Christopher Getch.
Happy birthday, Christopher.
Chris is a great, great guy. One of the better people you're going to meet. Chris joins us all the time for Encourage. I believe he's on the board over there. He's joined us on Morning Magazine a number of times. I've worked with Chris at the at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater before. One of the more talented human beings I have been around. He can sing, dance, act. Chris can do it all.
Awesome.
Great human being as well. Wonderful guy. One of those people you just love talking to. You look, you go out of your, you see Chris at like an event. You're going to go out, you're out of your way to go talk to him and say hi to him.
Make sure you say hello.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good guy. Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday.
You're our qualifier today.
Woohoo.
We move on to our celebrity list, where first up we have Scott Eastwood, is 37. That is Clint's son, Clint Eastwood's son. He's in Fast and the Furious and the Pacific Rim sequels. Also might remember him with smaller roles in Fury, The Longest Ride, and Suicide Squad, and some others. He's had he's built up a nice career for himself.
Yeah, he's a handsome man.
Yeah, yeah, he is, yeah. I'm not sure what Clint Eastwood's wife looks like, or Scott's mom looks like, what have you, or anything, but he definitely got his dad's jaw. Like that jaw of Clint Eastwood's has served him well for many decades. Adrian Peterson is 38, one of the all-time great running backs in NFL history. Quite a, some other stuff that could be said about him as well that didn't go over very cool. But Adrian Peterson also just one of the more recent great running backs in a position that is getting appreciated less and less in the NFL.
And I have heard that on my fantasy football team, running backs are very important.
Oh God, yeah, yeah. The NFL, they say that it's a quarterback league. You can have a great quarterback, you ain't got a good running game. They're just going to fill up the box on you. They're just going to they're going to come after you. You need a good running back. You need, nowadays you kind of need two. Let's see, Raquel, are you proud of me, Melissa? I stopped right there. I was going to keep going, and I stopped right there talking about sports.
I'm impressed. I'm sorry. Well done. Although I'm a little disappointed, James. You didn't pick up on my saying my fantasy football team.
I was going to talk to you off air about it. I didn't want to, but I was definitely going to bring that up. I'm very happy to hear that you had a fantasy football team.
Well, I don't have one yet.
Okay.
But,
okay.
But there's plans in the works.
Ooh, that's awesome. That's good. Oh, we can talk fantasy football then, Melissa.
Right on.
Rachel McFarlane is 47. Seth McFarlane's younger sister. She voices Haley on American Dad. She also does Ship's Computer on the Orville. Let's see here. Matthew Broderick is 61. Hey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't be a child of the 80s and not remember Mr. Broderick. One of the better actors that I've seen. I think Matthew Broderick, a very good actor. The producers, and I think there's some other ones you could reference, but I'll take you back to the 80s, late 80s, I believe, in a movie called Project X. That I believe was his best performance as an actor. It's actually a really way ahead of its time movie about testing on animals. And the work that was done on them. And there's a monkey that kind of is featured in that acts, that did really one of the first times I saw an animal act and did a good job. And Matthew Broderick working with that animal did a fantastic job. His performance in that I thought was really, really good. War Games is another one, I believe, if I'm getting that right. War Games,
yes.
One of my favorite movies.
From 83.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Oh, I love that movie. That and, there was another one, too, with Dabney Coleman. I can't think of it.
Well, the one that I remember him from is Glory.
Ooh, good one. Good reference, yeah. Melissa. Nice.
Because his face, that I just remember that movie.
Well, and that,
from him in that movie.
And that was his first, if I believe, his first chance to show everybody, hey, I'm not Ferris Bueller anymore.
Right.
This is me acting. Also, greatest performance, one of the greatest performances of Denzel's career.
Well, Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, Cary Elwes.
Oh, God.
They were all in that
movie. Just such a great movie.
Really
such
good
great
lineup.
Performances. Rosie O'Donnell is 61 today.
Really?
Yeah, happy 61st to former stand-up comedian and talk show host. I think a lot of people forget that she was a stand-up comedian. She was darn good, too. Slim Jim Phantom is 62, Stray Cats drummer. Rock This Town, Stray Cats strut. Huge fan of the Stray Cats as a kid. I was a big fan of the Stray Cats when I was a kid. I love that band. Any band with a stand-up bass in the 80s stood out. Like, that was pretty cool to me. That was pretty cool.
I bet.
I mentioned this many a times, and if I had to list the top actors of all time, I would put this gentleman in the top 10, maybe top 5. Mm. Gary Oldman is 65 today. Won an Oscar in 2018 for Best Actor for his portrayal of Winston Churchill in The Darkest Hour. He was Sirius Black in the Harry Potter movies, Jim Gordon in Christopher Nolan's Batman movies. He was Dracula. To me, he is Dracula in Bram Stoker's Dracula. Gary Oldman, he's in this most recently in the series called Slow Horses.
Slow Horse.
It's so good. I've every scene, very similar to Sidney Poitier or Cary Grant or Robin Williams or Denzel Washington, Jodie Foster. Those are my people. Gary Oldman, right in that list. Those people, along with Gary Oldman, greatest influences I've ever had. I've never seen a line delivered by Gary Oldman badly, but let alone a scene or a performance or anything. I've never seen that man utter a line badly. He's just that good. He's so dang good at what he does. And I don't get fanboy with many actors. Like, I could be around George Clooney and I'm just going to, like, that's George Clooney. Cool. Like, that's cool. Nice to meet you, George. I'm around Gary Oldman and I wouldn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to do. The man was such a big, the man has been such a huge influence on me.
I loved his performance in The Fifth Element.
Oh, he's so good in The Fifth Element. He's such a good bad guy. He's so good at it. Great performance. Roger Hodgson is 73, Supertramp guitarist. Timothy Dalton is 77.
Really?
Yeah. Widely considered one of the weaker James Bonds, but not a bad actor, just an actor that didn't really give it. I think he kind of phoned it in with Bond. I think Timothy Dalton at 77, you see, very fine actor, very good actor. I've seen him do quite a few things since. Rose Stone is 78, Sly and the Family Stone's organist. Not a lot of bands got an organist, you know?
No, that is very true.
And Johann Sebastian Bach, our lone person of people no longer with us on this day, born in 1685, passed away in 1750. We all remember when Bach would come out with 18, when he came out with 18 in Life. That was huge. It was a big moment in the 80s. No, I'm sorry. That was Skid Row. Sebastian Bach. I apologize. Many mix those two up. Now, I do love the idea of somebody mixing them up, though. I do.
Could happen.
Hey, play some Bach. No, not that. I meant Skid Row. I like the idea of that. One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to former employee Chris Woolridge.
Happy birthday, Chris.
And a happy birthday to our qualifier today, Christopher Gatch.
Congratulations, Christopher.
I hope you enjoy your day. Everybody celebrating a birthday or out there, or a birthday or anniversary out there, we wish you a great one, and we wish you would get them to us.
Yes.
Send them to info@WFHR.com. That's a great way to do it. We encourage you to like our Facebook page. Just type in your search bar, WFHR, like the page. You can direct message us that way as well. Or you can email me directly, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. We will take a quick commercial break, get to Melissa's news. When we come back, we've got the happiest happiest country in the world. Happiest country in the world. All coming right. Up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Night.
Tell me who this is, James.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I like this song.
Oh, I love this song. You're lucky I don't play the whole thing.
That's why Seth didn't give you the whole thing.
Yeah, he's smart. He's very smart. He knows his audience. It's a good song, though. Good song. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Melissa and I are about to dive into this one. You probably wouldn't believe with this, with all the chaos that has happened in America over the past few years, but we're actually pretty happy in our lives, relatively speaking.
Hey.
Every year, Gallup puts out a World Happiness Report, which ranks how people in more than 130 countries evaluate the quality of their lives to find the world's happiest countries.
Hmm.
And for the sixth year in a row, Finland is number one.
I knew it was going to be an Icelandic country.
Yeah. We say a good morning to all of our friends over in Finland and Denmark, which is number two.
Oh, yes, yes.
We've got some listeners out that way. We've got some in Sweden as well. So we say good morning to all of our European friends over there. Appreciate you listening very, very much. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, the streaming ratings help no matter where you're listening. So we take
it.
That
is true.
No problem.
And we'd love to hear from you.
Yes. Love hearing when they reach out to us and everything.
Yes.
So, yes, Finland number one, Denmark number two, Iceland number three. And the rest of the top 10 is a little surprising. Israel at number four.
Nice.
The Netherlands at number five, Sweden, Norway, Switzerland, Luxembourg, and New Zealand.
Hmm.
So that is five Nordic countries in the top seven, as Melissa kind of touched on there.
Yeah.
The U.S. is number 15 out of 137 countries, which is not bad at all.
15?
Yeah. We're just below Canada and Ireland, and just ahead of Germany and Belgium. Afghanistan, Lebanon, and the Sierra Leone are the countries where people are least satisfied and happy with their lives. They finished just below Zimbabwe, the Congo, Botswana, Malawi, Comoros, Tanzania, Zambia, and Madagascar, and India.
Hmm. I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of South American, African countries.
And a lot of countries that have struggled with one thing or another in recent memory, yeah. Especially India.
Human
rights especially. Yes, very well said, Melissa. India, I was thinking of the population and some of the turmoil they've had with their class system.
Yes, the caste system.
That's the, you know, India. There's a lot about India that I want to go there one day. I want to see. It looks like a beautiful country.
Oh, incredible country.
And some amazing people. But the class system thing bothers me quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a little bit about that growing up around some Indian people. But I will say that they would be the first to tell you that, part of the reason they're living here in this country is because of that class system. But they moved here and found, oh yeah, America has class system too. We just don't have a dot on our forehead to tell you.
Right.
And we're not alone either. It's not like India or America are the only ones that do this. The whole world does this.
To some extent or another, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious because are those ones on the top countries that you were talking about that are the happiest? I'd like to look and double check to be sure I'm saying this correctly, but I'm pretty sure that all of them have universal health care.
Those top countries, yes.
Yes.
I think that's an interesting thing, and I do see that showing up in the report here. So when they're talking about the gap of equality and the gap of happiness and unhappy, that does seem to be a major factor. It's shocking that healthcare would be a major factor in this.
Well, you know, healthcare, being able to pay your bills while working a reasonable amount of hours every day. Having childcare, having your children feel safe in school, I would think that all of those things are contributing to being happy. And I think that we're lagging in some of those areas, which is why we're, what'd you say, 15?
Yeah.
But it is higher than I thought it would be, to be fair.
Mm. Yeah.
Although there are definitely a lot worse places to live. America is wonderful. It has a lot of wonderful things about it that make us unique in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's not when you love something, you should be able to talk about it honestly.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about a loved one, when you're talking to a loved one, when you're in love with somebody, you don't just gloss over everything. Like, yeah, this person, you know, they don't treat me that great, but boy, they got a great bank account. Like, you don't do that. Like, no, you don't do that. You're honest about it. You're like, hey, they don't treat me that great, but I'm in love with them. We're trying to work it out or what have you or anything. Relationship is perfect.
Yeah, and if you put anything on a pedestal, it's going to fail, you know, or it's going to fall down eventually because nothing is perfect.
America has issues. Saying that does not make me less of an American. If anything, in my book, it makes me more of one. I believe in my country.
No, because you care about those issues.
If I didn't care, if I didn't believe, I'd go to a different country. I'm here. I'm staying here. I'm never living anywhere else. I'm here for the long haul because I believe in this country. I believe in what we're doing, and I want to see it through. And part of that is not just saying that, but actually putting in the work and doing something about it. Mm-hmm. And part of that is being part of this country, being a part of this whole system and this whole experiment we're trying with democracy and everything.
Yeah, a contributing member, a citizen, you know, building up your community, building up small businesses in our communities, trying to help get the word out about this stuff, important things that people need to know that's going on in the community, in our state. That is what I really appreciate about the Civic Media Network, and that is their goal and their mission.
According to the new latest Gallup poll, a 57% majority of the U.S. adults believe that the federal government should ensure all Americans have health care coverage. Yet nearly 53% do not have it.
Yeah.
Interesting. All I can say is when you're voting for people, look who's in whose pocket. That is going to answer a lot of questions for you as far as why this is still an issue.
Yes.
And vote accordingly. Like, if you don't care about that stuff, that's your vote. Do what you're going to do with it. I personally don't like the idea of corporations, of the pharmaceutical companies or these insurance companies being able to put money into politics. It's their given right because they're Americans. They can do that. And that's what the Supreme Court allowed a couple of years back. So we just got to kind of roll with this. But if we're not going to be able to get the money out of politics, let's at least have the accountability with the money. If you are taking money from pharma, then go ahead and have a nice badge of pharma on your jacket. That's all I ask. That's all. I don't think that'd asking nice. A lot. NASCAR does it just fine. NASCAR has no problem telling you who paid for their tires. Yeah, they pulled it off really good, actually. They do. Mm-hmm. Like, think of the free advertising it is just sponsoring with a NASCAR team. Like, I've heard them talk about this before. There's no number. So if you are one of these businesses putting into a politician and basically being like Chevrolet sponsoring a NASCAR car, okay, if that's the way politics are going to go, let's just be honest about it. What's the harm?
And I think that they should require that. Like, I'm backing you. Put my name out there.
Should be a built-in law. It should have not only bipartisan support, it should have nobody, like 100% of the vote. Not one politician should be turning against that. There is no reason not to. If you do, I want to hear your argument. I want to hear why. Why? What are you afraid of? Why are you hiding that money? Because that leads to a lot more questions that I got. If we want our country to be higher on this ranking, on this list, it doesn't take a lot of work to figure it out what one of the things that
what we need to solve, yeah.
Yeah, one of the major things is healthcare. So much revolves around it. You could bring up childcare. You could bring up a couple of other topics. I think
affordable housing.
They all play into this, but you take care of healthcare, and that's going to take care of a big, big part of this problem.
Because so many people rely on just emergency services because they can't have preventative checkups. They can't afford it. And there's this middle ground of, okay, so the very, very poor, you know, many of them qualify for some kind of federal or state aid. And then the rich that can afford the healthcare or have a job that helps them afford it. And then there's this gray area in between where so many of us, it's like you have to walk that line of, well, if I make $3 more a month, I lose my health care.
Yeah.
But I have to make $700 more a month to be able to afford this other health care. Mm-hmm. That's a big divide right there. And so many people are stuck in that path. So then they don't get the health care that they need when they need it and are forced into emergency services, which puts added strain on our health care system.
It all adds up. The more we take care of that one issue and you see how these things can, you know, I don't want to say solve themselves. It's not that simple, but it gets pretty close to that.
It's going to help take strain off of so many other areas.
Mm-hmm. What we'll do right here is take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and we'll get into some fun random facts.
All right.
We haven't done that in a while. We'll get some weird, wacky, random facts for you. We got that coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Sorry, people. I want to interrupt Peebo Bryson there. I think that is. I don't actually think that's who that is. I'm not sure. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. So I interrupted him again. We hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there, everybody. Thanks for joining Melissa and I. Got some fun stuff we want to get to here. Wanted to touch on this before we dive into our weird, random, fun facts. Remember back in 2019 when we were striving to get 10,000 steps per day? And then that whole pandemic thing happened and steps per day dropped to like 12. Well, we're back at it again. According to a new study, we aren't walking quite as much as before. On average, we're walking about 600 fewer steps per day than before the pandemic. And it's younger people 18 to 30 whose step counts were most impacted. 600 steps may not seem like a big deal, but over time, a more sedentary lifestyle can raise the risk of cardiovascular disease and obesity.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to get those steps in.
Yes.
However
you can do it, short little bursts here and there. It doesn't have to all be in one big fell swoop, Melissa.
I appreciate that, Mel. I appreciate that. I actually know of I would call her a friend. I've mentioned her before on the air. It's a lady that lives a little ways away from my parents' house who I've helped her with her driveway before. She has recently needed to, she's trying not to use her walker too much, so she's trying to get a certain amount of steps in. And mm-hmm. I told her about the story that we did during the pandemic of the gentleman out in the UK who, for charity, was walking on his back deck back and forth. And he wanted to get like 100 steps or 1,000 steps in or something like that. And so he'd walk on his deck in the back, just, you know, front to back, back and forth, and did this. And raised a ton of money, and I believe he was knighted for his efforts and everything.
Oh, cool.
It was an interesting story, cool story. I was telling her about this, and now she's kind of doing that. So to your point, Mel, you get those steps in any way you can, mm-hmm. even if it's walking up and down stairs or whatever's mm-hmm. comfortable with you.
Yeah.
But
and in short periods too, like we were talking before, what was it, if you get your heart elevated for like 4 seconds,
yeah.
wasn't that the study you read?
Yes.
That can help boost your metabolism. So
just incredible, 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. And you can make a difference in your life and in your
every little bit
in the future of your life too. I mean, mm-hmm. Cardiovascular disease is one of the creepier things that can happen to our body. It just goes on and we don't even know what's going on there.
Yep.
It's a villain. It's a horror
just like
movie monster.
The buildup in your shower head that you don't see happening until the water doesn't come out anymore.
Hang on a second. I got to write that down. Clean shower head. No.
It's not a bad idea.
No, not a bad idea. Time for some weird, random, fun, wacky, interesting facts. These are things that you can throw at friends or strangers and seem smart. at least I try to. Ginkgo, it's one of the few supplements I take, but I take Ginkgo Bilbo, and I always say it wrong. I always want to say Bilbo Baggins. I take Bilbo Baggins. Okay, what are you talking
Isn't
about?
Isn't it Ginkgo Biloba?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Melissa. Yeah. That's the proper way to say it, so people actually know what we're talking about.
All right.
This is a supplement I've been taking for years, and I've never known how to say it properly.
You know, I'm not going to judge you for it, James, because there's stuff like that in my life, too, where, like, I know how to say this. Like, Hyundai. Hyundai? Yeah. Hyundai. Mm-hmm. Hyundai. Mm-hmm. That's how you say it, but mm-hmm. it doesn't look like how it's spelled.
Well, Ginkgo is the oldest surviving tree species.
Mm.
Having remained on the planet for 200 million years, even before dinosaurs.
Wow.
And I will admit that I had that random fact locked and loaded for Melissa and I because we're both tree people.
Yes. I was saying, no wonder you take this supplement, James.
The NBA All-Star game had a final score this past year of 184 to 175. The last time a team scored under 100 points in an All-Star game was in 1973.
Wow.
Usually All-Star games don't have a lot of defense. Usually just a lot of, there's a lot of scoring. So
question then for your bracket, because you had to pick what you thought the final point count was going to be.
Oh, for March Madness. Yeah. No, I didn't. I never do that because I don't like I don't like predicting games to begin with, and then when I do that, I find myself rooting for that score, and I don't like rooting for a set score. I just want to go into the game, and especially with March Madness, where my teams are never in it, so I just root for good games and for great basketball. And yeah, I'm weird about that stuff, though. I'm not good at gambling. Period. Even when it's light gambling like this, I'm just bad at it. In most Spanish-speaking countries and Greece, Friday the 13th isn't considered an unlucky day. Tuesday the 13th is.
Oh.
In Italy, Friday the 17th is an unlucky day.
Really?
Yeah, I know I've heard the story before of Italy of why that is. I'd have to look into it to be 100% accurate, though. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This one for my big sister, Terry. The movie Frozen is based off of Hans Christian Andersen's story, The Snow Queen. And Disney had been trying to adapt it into a movie on and off since the 1930s.
Wow. That's interesting.
I believe that the script that Frozen was made off of actually had a lot of original stuff in it from those original pitch meetings.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't they pull that out and go like, okay, well, is there anything in here we can use?
And, I mean, Disney certainly made I mean, their whole, really, the core of Disney is based on old stories, like the Grimm Tales and Hans Christian Andersen stories and that. A lot of those ones
Loosely,
yes. Well, enough to where you could get away with it. This is one of the most interesting things in the world to me. So Disney does this back in the day because they don't have the money to pay for copyright fees and a lot of these things. So they creatively, and they are given a lot of creative credit for this, of finding ways to work around that stuff. Flash forward to 40 to 50 years later when TV shows like South Park and shows want to parody Disney, but they don't want to get in trouble copyright-wise. So they what they learn from Disney, all they have to do is
to.
Yeah, is like, say you want to do Mickey Mouse, but you just make his ears a little bigger, or don't put the buttons on his overalls.
The color of his... Yeah, something.
It's all you got to do. It's just one little difference, and you're safe. It's just it's kind of cool to me and kind of funny to me how Disney they got really bent out of shape over some stuff that South Park has done, but they couldn't do a thing about it because of what they learned Disney.
That's
The first two Super Bowls weren't officially called the Super Bowl. Their official name was the AFL-NFL World Championship game, but fans called the game the Super Bowl, so by the third one, the name just kind of became official, so the fans named the Super Bowl.
Fans named it. Nice. I like that.
That's pretty darn cool, and that really speaks to, it's part of the reason why what I still love about football is that football, there's other sports that obviously have American ties. Football is so American. To the point where we helped create it. We not just a bunch of people in an office room deciding, hey, what should we call the big game? Let's call it the Bowl of Super. How about Super Bowl? That sounds better. It wasn't that. It was us. It was the people that called it that. I think that that's one of the cool things about the game that still exists. People get upset about stuff all the time. They bark and bark and bark, and the NFL listens. And not to say that they always do something about it, but oftentimes they will do stuff. We get mad about the rule changes every year, but that happens because we complain. it's kind of like, you can't please everybody kind of thing.
That is very true. I've got one here for you, James. Can I throw in?
Yeah.
From Grandma's, this book that I have.
Yes,
Grandmother's Household Hints, as good today as yesterday. And I thought this one was really great. Complexion. To increase your complexion. Be cheerful. Get as much fresh air indoors and outdoors as possible. Keep in health. Promote a good digestion and regular evacuations. Avoid alcoholic drinks. A milk and vegetable diet makes a fair complexion. Plain living without condiments and hot seasonings, etc., makes the fairest face.
Wow.
It is good to rise early in the morning, drink a cup of milk, walk into the fields, wash the face in sparkling dew.
Whoa.
Gaze on creation above, below, and all around you till mental pleasure beams forth on your face in radiant smiles. Check the effects of grief, disappointment, and embarrassments. Shun cosmetics and patent washes for the skin.
Wow. That is pretty good. You know, that actually sounds wonderful. Sounds like a fantastic way to start the day. I would do it once or twice, and I like, there's no way I'd remember half that stuff. Or, like, where am I going to find dew? I can't find dew anywhere.
Somebody's walking by. James, why are you rubbing leaves on your face?
I'm trying to find dew. Is that a Mountain Dew can you have? James, that doesn't count. I'm just trying. Quit pouring Mountain Dew on your face. That doesn't count.
No. I think that would have the opposite effect.
Silly, silly boy. Silly city boy.
Although citric acid is good for your skin.
Oh, yeah, there's that. I also love the idea of them, like, the writer sitting there with some other writers and kind of like, hey, what's another way to word going number two? What? How could leaving the body? What do we got here? What do we got? No, that doesn't. That's too dirty. That's evacuate. Okay, that's the best we got. Evacuate. Evacuates the body.
Regular evacuations.
The hurdles that we would take back in the day to just try to make sure that everybody, like, we didn't offend anybody, did we? We didn't say anything improper.
We want to keep this very kosher. Very proper.
Oh, that was a good one. I really like that one. That's a fun one right there, Melissa. Appreciate that. I love that book, by the way. We gotta reference that book more.
There's some gems in here, but there's also some that, oh my goodness, I can't believe that they would put that on their skin.
There's certain
into their bodies.
It's pretty cool to see how certain things, like, all we've done is like change, like tinker with one little thing, and we're still doing it the same way. And then there's stuff like, oh my God, why? Like, what were they thinking? Where what is going
on? Well, when they don't understand, you know, the effects of mercury on your body, you know, and then that kind of, so they just didn't have the science to back it up. And that's the great thing about science, being able to show us, okay, well, these are the consequences of doing that.
Mad as a hatter.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite, like, idioms, or learning where that idiom came from, is that
Beaver
story.
Caps.
So interesting. Take a quick break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.